From the WASDE report that came out today to the potential government shutdown to how about Mideast peace plans? All these factors weighing in on what we've seen on a Tuesday market trade. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield at World Dairy Expo, and joining us, Mike Zuzulo. Mike is with Global Commodity Analytics. And look at these numbers. What was your big kind of take back?
Yeah, I think that is exactly what it is, Susan. I think the other thing is, speaking of wheat, just real briefly, but because it's my leader in price action and trend for the grains overall, especially during this time of year when we're in the middle of row crop harvest in the northern hemisphere and we're wrapping up, you know, and getting done with the harvest, obviously with the winter wheat, we should start to have a better idea of the supply-demand fundamentals and specifically the export demand for U.S. wheat. So I would have liked to have seen the wheat stocks number be a lot lower than it was, but all wheat stocks came in up 6.4% versus last September. The trade was expecting it to be up about 2.5%. So we didn't get any favors there. As a result of that, the soft red wheat heading towards the major lows put in back at the end of August, early September time period. And that's something to really watch closely in all three of the major grains and oil seeds is the month-end, quarter-end price action and how they look on the long-term charts. But getting back to your question, the soybeans versus the corn, the trade had gone into the market up until the very few minutes before the report, essentially buying corn and selling soybeans because of the supply demand on the side of the export demand, much, much stronger for corn, much, much weaker for soybeans. The trade estimates were also thinking, okay, we're going to have about 5.6% less soybeans than last year in September, but we're going to have 24% less corn than last year. Well, USDA, there's always seems to be at least one big question after a major USDA report like we had, and it was that the USDA flipped those numbers and flipped the script. Instead, we had soybeans down 7.6% versus last year, corn only down 13%. So half the reduction in the corn than the trade was thinking it would be, including me. I mean, I was a little higher at about 1.4 billion bushels than the average trade guess. But I would say my big question, and I'll probably reach out to NASS on this next week, is how can we have only 24% less stocks of corn on September 1, and we have year-to-date export inspections up 52%? I know that's 25, 26 exports, but we have just been on such a barn-burning roll on the corn exports. It wouldn't make sense to me that we would have that many excess supplies of 24, 25 corn at this point.
Is there the lack of support right now for the soybeans, considering everything that's happening Middle East-wise, and as you look at this just grain as a whole?
Yeah, the big thing that I see in the soybeans, and this is where I've told clients and subscribers when I put out my midday flash report and when I talked last night on the update for the blog, I'm really going to watch the Dease July corn spread and the Nove July bean spread. I think they were going to probably point to the right direction as far as what the trade is thinking now that we have this wide open harvest window for the next 6-7 days and a report we can't really do much with if you ask me at this stage. But for the soybeans specifically, you do have an issue with the Middle East peace process because the trade in crude oil, I think, is clearly expecting the Hamas terrorist organization to agree to this peace process. And we've seen a big break in the crude oil market as a result of that. We've gone from roughly $64, $65 a barrel back down to around $60 a barrel at this point, losing about $4 a barrel in about a three-day time period. That's weighing on the soybean oil, and that's why it's important to me. Also, I would say that there's some private Brazilian forecasters suggesting that Brazil's bean planting is going so fast, it is in record territory right now. And that could be price negative now. It may be price friendly down the road if they have a weather event and they turn into a drought because they're super dry. But right now, it seems like without Chinese business, we've got a lot of excess supply that the market sees. And that's why that $10 handle is so important in the November beans. And that's why I was hoping that the wheat and the corn would come in here and really change the dynamic of the beans wanting to leak and go lower.
How much concern should the market have, knowing that there is a looming government shutdown or a partial government shutdown, as some call it, that is going to happen probably at midnight tonight?
I'm thinking at this point, Susan, the trade really doesn't care too much about it as long as it gets solved by the end of this week. From what I'm picking up, we've been through this before. This is nothing new, especially given the different parties running the White House and the minority party really having a tough go of it right now because of the legislation that the Republicans have put through. It's not a surprise this has happened in the trade's mindset. I think we'll be nervous, though, if we come back next week and it's still ongoing, because that means lost government jobs. That means lack of transparency in supply-demand fundamentals at a very critical time period in terms of export inspections, export sales, things like that. And I think the one thing that maybe would be beneficial to the grains in the commodities, ag commodities in general, is if we go into next week, I'm going to be watching that dollar very closely. Is this the impetus to create a whole nother leg down and a wave of fresh selling in the U.S. dollar or not? Do we lose confidence in the United States because of the debt load? Do the bond yields and interest rates on Wall Street start to skyrocket because of there's nerves coming back into this market and the bond market? And then does that pressure the dollar lower into territory we haven't seen yet in 2025? And I think that's really important, again, because we're jumping into Q4 now after after Tuesday's trade. And it really is important, especially from a livestock perspective, because those prices in Q4 of 2014 really changed in terms of the cattle markets. And we tended to find quite a bit of resistance to the upside.
What do you see as a spurring factor for this cattle market to turn themselves back around today?
It was very simple math to me. I'm probably oversimplifying it, Susan, but first we checked the monthly low in live cattle. We came within 40 cents of the monthly low in fats of 28.80. That's a huge number for me technically now, not to close below. But you can see, once again, with the Commitment of Traders report last week, funds had dialed back their net longs in cattle, and feeders especially, cutting their feeder net longs in half, essentially, over the last few weeks. And now I think they're picking them right back up again. Why? Because the corn market went lower. I just don't think we can underestimate the importance of the speculative funds and how they're trading the feeders against the corn. And that's going to be one of the major sources of price action and trend direction, I think, in both commodities as we get into 2026. And what I'm saying there is we got to be really ready for a major low in corn and a major high in feeders. Locking in that feed and locking in those marketings. And I think that's really the biggest challenge that I'll probably have in the livestock sector. The last thing I'll say about the cattle side of the equation is that we saw a three-year low in the Chinese hog futures this week as October hogs at the Merck were making new contract highs. I think something's going to have to give there. I'm thinking maybe hogs won't be as supportive of a feature to the cattle market in the last quarter of this year.
All right. Thanks so much. Mike Zuzulo joining us today to break down this Tuesday market action. A quick reminder to everybody that commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that's the Tuesday market wrap-up on the American Ag Network.